This is CliffCentral.com.
Okay, George, so what's in your news today?
Well, 200 tons of plastic road will be laid in the stretch of the N3 in KwaZulu-Natal soon.
Ooh. Plastic road.
Plastic
everyone's bottles road. And straws.
Yeah, so it's recycled plastic. And what they're going to do is they're going to test this under the harsh South African sun.
Right.
The plastic is going to replace the bitumen.
Yes,
in the tar.
Which we don't like.
So this is good.
Gets all over the
because
place.
First of all the eco warriors out there who are posting pictures of fake pictures of the Amazon burning can calm their tits and drive on a plastic road and feel that they're making some kind of contribution, just like they do when they put their paper straw, into my drink so that it disintegrates while I'm trying to have it.
Mm.
All right.
How long does it take these paper straws to disintegrate anyway?
About 5 seconds.
Yes. In Diet Coke. About
I don't use straws.
And then what started as a clear apple juice ends up as a milkshake.
What I can't understand is when you're at home and you take a glass out of the cupboard and you pour yourself a drink, do you take out a freaking straw?
Have you tried the smoothies that I love so much? You can't drink those from the cup.
Oh, okay.
You'll have a smoothie moustache in a second.
please, lumps of it will fall onto your eyes. It'll be a disaster.
Happens on a regular basis.
Are you into this plastic straw crap? Jesse, do you care about
Yeah, I am, actually.
Oh, here we go. See, we've awoken the eco warrior.
Well, I don't know. You know, I think that...
I'm all quiet. I have a glass.
I think that if there's small things we can do that'll help, then, you know, I mean... Do you need a straw?
Yes.
Okay. Well, otherwise you get clumps
what about
in your
those?
Eyes.
What about those metal straws?
Yeah, I've got a glass smoothie straw.
Yeah,
straw?
You get those glass straws. I don't really use. I'm not going to be buying glass straws. I'm not going to carry straws around. I'd rather just not use a straw.
Okay. All right.
Fine. I'm not like fighting for it or like you all know right. campaigning for it. But
you've publicly shamed me into doing this stuff. But thanks a lot.
I do recycle though at home.
Will you draw? Will you drive on George's plastic road that he's talking about?
I will.
Make you
I will.
Feel better.
Yes, it actually will.
There we go. All right.
Not a bad initiative, and
not bad at all.
And then there's a new ride-hailing service for woman by woman called Chauffeur.
Oh.
Her. Okay.
Like tease hers.
No, not like tease hers at all.
Oh, different to that. You can get a chauffeur from tease hers.
But this is obviously for women who've been nervous and have had bad experiences, and we've heard about these.
Yeah, we have.
There are rare occasions. Thank God they're rare, but there are occasions where most of these Lyft services, these Ubers, Lyft, the rest of them, that they aren't taxify. They sometimes, like any business, there's going to be a creep or a weirdo. And for some women, this ends up in very unpleasant experiences, if not a lot worse. So obviously, in this case, I'm imagining women drivers.
Women drivers.
Only.
Only.
Women, okay.
SOS button. And it's all for women to feel safer.
Right.
And exactly to your point. So, you know, hopefully they give Uber and Taxify a go. I'm all for the competition. So.
Sure.
Yeah.
Drive down prices as well.
Yeah, that's especially in South Africa, though, with all the women problems.
Yeah, horrible
I mean, I'm not going to name their names, but the ride-hailing services in South Africa's cars have deteriorated.
Listen, the drivers are quite crap. Eh?
Yeah, in Cape Town, I won't touch a ride-hailing service.
Really?
No. I've almost been, literally, almost died twice.
Almost died.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm busy. I'm
over.
Bit dramatic. Being a bit dramatic, but the
like
one day
Jesse with his paper straws
on the way from the airport in Cape Town to the city centre, in traffic, and I hear the screeching of tyres. Wasn't the driver's fault, so I can't blame the ride-hailing service. But nonetheless, a screeching 4x4 double cab comes past the window. On two wheels, crashes into a car about three cars in
front. Oh, my word.
So I don't know if you can solve that, and it's
not
the ride-hailing service yet.
Well, but
what would you have done if you were at the wheel?
Pulled off the road.
But I can attest to what he's saying, because in Cape Town, it's the only time I've had issues with a service like that, where we ended up on an island on the highway.
Yeah, and I don't feel safe in those cars.
He almost missed the off-ramp, and then he decided to try and take
it. Don't you think these two are real drama queens, Jesse? Have you ever heard such bitching in your life?
Really?
I mean, none of that has anything to do with the actual Uber drivers.
No, but I've got other stories inside Cape Town where, you know, narrowly missing pedestrians.
Yeah. It is hit or miss, literally.
Exactly. Let me just interrupt quickly. Cindy, who says, I love Jesse's music. Thanks for getting him back in, Gareth. Sending lots of love from Ireland. She loves you.
Oh, thank you. From Ireland.
All the way from Ireland.
Very nice.
Awesome stuff. And then there is news of a new cannabis test, because police have been battling to test whether you're under the influence. You know, with alcohol, you've got the breathalyzer test. So how do you test for cannabis in the moment?
I usually just look at how glazed over
the eyes are. You're under the influence. With the urine test, it tests whether you've consumed cannabis in a month. So you can't really use the urine test as a under the influence test.
How much? I'm going to ask a controversial question here. How much testing have they done to determine just how badly people drive under the influence of cannabis and or alcohol? Have they compared the two? Have they done a control? Because we assume that all of these substances are bad for good reason, you know, because people's attention isn't great and their ability to react is slow and all of that kind of thing. But I want to know whether someone who's driving under the influence of, let's say, drug A is compared to someone who's driving under the influence of drug B or no drugs. And there aren't enough surveys, to my mind, that have gone to the trouble of comparing apples with apples.
I'll volunteer.
Well, I think you're right, but I don't think there's any doubt that any substance that causes hallucinogenic effects should put the person behind the wheel.
That I've always said the biggest threat on our roads that we never research is tiredness.
Yeah, no, so that's, well, again.
How many people fall asleep behind the wheel? Truck drivers, we hear about these horrendous accidents that you assume could only have happened because the guy fell asleep at the wheel.
Yeah.
And no one pulls you over on the side of the road and the police take out an instrument of some kind
and test you.
Shove it up your ass and say, I'm sorry, sir, you can't drive anymore, you're tired.
Well, I suppose you're not trying to justify the drugs. What you're trying to say is that one of them is worse, and that's tiredness.
Yeah, well, there's a range of things that are potentially quite bad.
Texting and driving is bad.
Texting and driving is terrible. And what about people who are angry? Like, you know how road angry rage. Drivers, they brake very sudden. I know, because I've done this. You brake suddenly, you drive with like this
purpose.
Vengeful force.
Try and overtake
you
everyone.
You take corners fast. And, you know, if people are angry, I think that also is as bad as
if you're having a bad day.
Yeah. No, that's true. So this test is a saliva test and can be conducted on the side of the road.
Yes, that's because it tests your cannabis levels. The drool actually falls under the side of the road if you're that stoned.
Stoned, you're drooling.
Drooling.
I'm not a cannabis fan at all, but the few times that I have had it, sometimes it's been so bad I haven't even been able to find the car door, never mind drive.
There's got to be something we figure out. Technology is developing so quickly. There'll be some instrument that says to you, sorry, you're too tired, or sorry, you're too high, or sorry, you're too drunk, or sorry, you're a douchebag, and you're too stupid to drive.
Yeah.
maybe the new electric cars will scan you when you get in. Yeah.
I mean, what about stupid while we're talking about this? Because seriously.
Yeah, some people have undiagnosed stupidity.
Yeah. And you see, I said this the other day on Monday, I was driving in and I saw a taxi that had overturned. All right. And this is now potentially 15, maybe even 20 people's lives in huge peril. Some of them may have been injured in that accident. I didn't see anyone who was dead, thank goodness. But I mean, I drove past. I'm not one of those rubberneckers. But I thought about it and it came to my mind that if you're a taxi driver, you shouldn't just be competent to drive. You should be more competent than the average driver. If I'm just driving in my car and I bump into something and there are no other cars involved, it's only me that can get into trouble or get hurt. And that's my responsibility. But if you're driving a whole lot of other people, you need to be extra responsible. Yeah. It's like a truck driver's license needs to be more advanced than anyone else's.
Because they can drive over stuff.
Right, and those guys are driving with like 30, 40 people in the car. Correct. As well. I mean, like, yeah, it's so overloaded.
I think that's absolutely right.
So, again, we've got to have a lot more tests. People get uptight about guns for good reason. We should get very uptight about driver's licenses.
I think you're right. I mean, it should be like an aircraft license. Every 3 years, I have to retake the test, be tested by an instructor. And I get more experience all the time. So why do I need to be retested? Why? Because maybe I can become dumb overnight.
No,
do stupid things.
You could bump your head and
well, I mean, the one of the theories in the aircraft world is that the more experience you get, the dumber things you do because you're more confident.
Mm.
Like, yeah,
yeah. You start flying low. You start thinking. Forget. You forget. Yeah. So
you're not nervous enough to be putting in
exactly.
The air. It's like a musician.
I remember we spoke about this, and I said, so what you should look for is a nervous. Hope that the plane that you're on has a nervous-looking pilot.
Yeah.
Not too okay. Nervous, but Jesse, yeah. you get nervous before you perform.
Yeah, yeah.
No, not like you're shaking and you're
nervous. Yeah, you get like adrenaline, you know.
You don't want to let the audience down.
Yeah. I think that you know, no matter how many times you do it, you always have that sort
a good
of rush
thing.
Before.
Overconfidence is going to
stuff
up.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's you can't be too relaxed.
Well, talking about stuff ups, this Porsche, it was a 1939 Porsche Type 64.
Very cool looking car.
Never touched. Was in brand spanking new condition, obviously aged naturally, mm-hmm. but was hardly driven. Went on auction.
Yeah, how much?
For a reserve price of $20 million. And if you go watch the YouTube video on this, the auctioneer mm-hmm. Started off the bidding at $13 million, but the guy had a foreign accent. So people thought he said $30 million.
I heard about this. He's a Dutch guy.
Yes, and he went up to $14 million, and they thought it was $40 million. And so the bids went up to $70 million.
Wow.
And eventually somebody... The auctioneer realized that the person putting the numbers up on the screen wasn't putting up the numbers that he was saying and then corrected himself, and suddenly all the numbers plummeted from the screen and the car never sold.
Sure. Well, they'll just do that one
again.
Yeah,
they'll have to put it in the next block.
But this is a very bad ad for multiculturalism, really.
Yeah.
True.
But also, how stupid were the people bidding $70 million for a car that was worth $17 million?
Well, the guys that were bidding were arguing that they actually heard what the auctioneer was saying and that it was $17 million. And the reserve price was $20 million, so nobody got the car in the end. And then just for Gareth, a German taxi startup called Volocopter has finally raised $55 million to fund a round led by Geely, the Chinese parent company of Volvo, to try and get this Volocopter up in the air within 3 years.
Thank you, Jesus. Mm. When do we get it, and how many months do I have to wait? How much do I have to pay?
3 years, not sure of the price yet. Oh,
so someone has to fly it, right?
You fly it.
So what is it? Is it like a jetpack?
No, it's a like a drone.
Okay.
And it's got multiple rotors on it, and
it's a taxi.
It's a taxi.
No, vertical takeoff and lift.
Crazy. So it's like a drone that you just
drone
get
that
into.
You can
and
get into. And,
is it manned or unmanned?
Well, they say that these will eventually become unmanned. Maybe they will launch unmanned.
Jeez, no thanks.
You don't like
getting
that?
Into an unmanned drone
yeah,
and flying around Joburg.
I will.
Tap
I'd
him on
say
the
for
up. Say, dude,
please,
slow
we've
down.
Just been talking about how mad everyone on the roads are. Much safer up there. Way safer.
Maybe.
I'm up for it. Plus, imagine you get to your appointment on time every time. You wake up like 10 minutes late, not
or
a problem.
Dead.
Yeah, let the AI advance a little bit more before we all go flying around in unmanned drones.
You guys are a bunch of pussies.
This is the second prototype. It has 18 rotors and it features a flight time of 30 minutes and a maximum range of 27 kilometers.
Oh, that's no good.
Yeah, it is no good. It flies at 110 kilometers per hour and capable of roughly 35
That's
k's.
Fine.
But I mean, 35 k's is short. Between here and you know, any of our houses is less than 35 k's.
Mm.
Yeah, about there.
Yeah.
I don't want to run out of fuel up there. That's a problem. Yeah. You know, if you grind to a halt in your car, you can always go get a Coke bottle full of petrol.
So this is the second round of funding at $55 million. To date, they've raised $94 million to try and get this thing.
Well,
in
I'll throw in $100.
Yeah.
All right.
You want it that badly, but you'll give it $100.
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot more right now. Okay, thank you, George.
You're welcome.
A look at what's going on the motoring front. Thank you, Jesse. It's always good to catch up with you.
Thank you for having me, man. It's great to be back.
Yeah, nice to see you. And we're going to play Let It Burn, let people hear it if they haven't heard it already, and go out and see his shows. He's coming here to do a whole bunch of shows, November and December.
Yeah, jessecleck.com. All the dates are there.
This is CliffCentral.com.